Welcome to Reboot Republic, the podcast that goes behind the headlines and looks at the big issues in this republic of inequality. We are the podcast of solutions and the podcast of hope, and I'm your host, Rory Hearn. And I'm joined today by four Leaving Cert students, and I'm really, really looking forward to this in terms of hearing your experience of, I suppose, in many ways, the shambles that has been over the last few days in terms of the government's initial proposal to bring Leaving Cert students back in and then the change in that, but also more generally to talk about, you know, we're within the midst of this global pandemic. It's not clear as to, you know, how the year is going to go, and you're all facing potentially doing a Leaving Cert and obviously are not just potentially, but will be doing some form of a Leaving Cert. And so I'd love to hear your views around, you know, whether you think this is actually how you think it could be done, should be done. And it is really great to have your voices, and I commend you before you even start in terms of speaking out and speaking up, and we appreciate that. And to remind listeners, as always, please, we're an independent media putting out these podcasts. If you can become a patron, go to patreon.com/tortoiseshack to become a patron. I'll start with you, Isabel Flanagan. You were kind of among some of the students who are really highlighting the problems, the fundamental flaws in trying to bring Leaving Cert students back, and also the wider lack of clarity on what's going to happen with Leaving Cert students. We've seen now the government roll back on that initial proposal. How are you feeling today about it all?
Well, I'm happy that they chose not to bring us back next week, but they still need to do more for us. I've kind of linked up with incoming sixth years on Instagram because they started a petition to have optional predicted grades for us. So I've been tweeting their stuff and trying to get Norma Foley's attention. Last night it had just a bit over 22,000 signatures, and today it hit 24,000. So we're hoping that Norma Foley will listen to us if we get all the signatures, hopefully. So we'll just have to see how it goes, but hopefully she will listen.
And what's your kind of, what's the key ask you're asking for in that?
We want there to be an option for predicted grades. And I was talking to the people who run the account before this interview, and they were saying that predicted grades should be issued in the spring, so that pupils who wish to resit the exam can do so later in the year, when it's safe, hopefully. We just need to get help from parties on the opposition as well, because like if we got the likes of Sinn Féin and other parties to help us, we'd get more, I don't know, people looking at it, and hopefully more attention from the government. Hopefully they'll listen to us.
And how do you think, like, what are Leaving Cert students feeling now today?
I think most of us are confused because we've been hearing mixed messages from the government for the past few days. Like, we were hearing, okay, we're going in and we're going to do that. And then we found out that Norma Foley didn't go to the unions or any of the health officials to get, not their permission, but to get their guidance on it. And I was even talking to teachers and they were like, we don't know what we're going to do. So I think she needs to work with us and the teachers to try and come to an agreement.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, Isabel. And we'll come back to you for more on that in terms of, you know, your overall kind of sense of where things should go now. Matthew Ryan, who's the welfare officer with the Secondary School Students Union, the Irish Secondary School Students Union. I assume you, Nora was on the phone to you guys extensively in the run-up to the decision, yeah?
We wish. But no, I suppose maybe the main thing to highlight at the minute is that students have lost complete trust in the department over the last couple of days. I think, you know, initially we were told schools are fully safe, everyone's going back, every single school student's going back after Christmas, which is why then ISSU kind of obviously said, no, students have shown they don't feel safe. So we made then our initial recommendation to the department to only bring back 6th, 5th and 3rd years. This was back when we were told that it was safe and the plan was for everyone to go back. And then almost not even overnight, in the space of a couple of hours, there was kind of a political change and suddenly it was, oh, maybe schools aren't safe, or we're not going to send everyone back, or we're just going to send 6th years back. And then obviously we got that announcement with just 6th years being sent back. And then obviously we had to look at it like, right, why have they changed their stance so suddenly? And then, you know, we look back at our students, our members, and we said, right, look, students don't want to be in school. They don't feel safe. They've lost trust in the department and they're confused, which is why then, you know, we put out our stance to keep the schools closed. And, you know, the department has listened. You know, you saw ASTI put out their statement as well, saying, no, teachers aren't going in. They don't feel safe. So I suppose at the minute, the main message to get across is that the department has lost students' trust and the confidence in the department, and that students just don't feel supported enough at the minute.
And in terms of the, I suppose, where we go from here, what do you think needs to happen?
Yeah, so I think the number one thing that we need above anything else is just clarity. I think, and it was again last year, I don't know if you're following the ISSU, but it was the main kind of ask again back then last year was just clarity, because we still have no idea what's happening with the state exams. The minister has said that she's adamant in running the normal exams, which now that we're out of school for another month, can that happen? Is that feasible? We need to see the concrete contingency plans in place for us to be able to sit the exams, whether or not it's safe, public health, depending on public health advice, because even if it is safe, is it still feasible to sit exams with how much that we've, or how much school time we've lost, which are all questions that we need answers to kind of as soon as possible. And I suppose as well, just for the minister to come out and engage with stakeholders much more than they already are, because we had a meeting earlier this morning and with the advisory group, but we need constant communication with the department, and we need, you know, that I suppose advanced knowledge of huge announcements such as only 60s are coming back or only whatever is coming back. So we need that clarity and communication.
And what was the kind of main sense of that? What did you find out or in that meeting with the advisory group today? Or
yeah, so I wish I had more to tell you, but it's only over not even an hour a bit, not even that long. So we're still waiting to hear back from our president, kind of what the main kind of vibes in the room, I suppose, at the minute are, and kind of what the main message is. But as soon as we know that, I will let you know.
And how do you think, you know, you're obviously the welfare officer, you know, how are Leaving Cert students doing? Like, you know, I posted, someone sent it on to me there, and I'd seen it before, but they reminded me of the UN, United Nations criticism of the Irish state for not making changes to the Leaving Cert because it causes, you know, huge anxiety and stress. Absolutely unnecessarily in terms of it. And, you know, I tweeted, I made the point, you know, when the initial announcement that Leaving Cert students were coming back, that, you know, the Leaving Cert was basically being put as a life or death matter. You know, it's like this becomes before anything, and it just completely lost perspective. But how are, you know, students, Leaving Cert students doing at the moment? Surely, you know,
I suppose the main kind of feeling that I've seen anyway from all the students I've been in contact with is just complete stress, anxiety and uncertainty. And I think all of those feelings are obviously completely justified. As a Leaving Cert student myself, like, I don't know which way I'm going. I don't know, should I be studying for my Leaving Cert? Should I be continue working? Like, what should be going on? So I think students are confused and they're anxious. And I think, you know, that is going to turn into anger towards, you know, the department and stuff unless they seek that clarity. So I think students need that reassurance from the department. They need the department to recognize that, you know, students, there are, you know, 60, 70 odd thousand of us who are going to be sitting in the Leaving Cert. So we need that reassurance that it is safe, and we need that reassurance that we're being listened to, because students really, really are feeling lost and let down at the minute, and completely justified, I would say so. And I think they need, you know, that reassurance that they are being listened to.
Yeah. Thanks, Matthew. Bernadette Sanchez, you're also a Leaving Cert student. How do you feel at the moment?
Personally, I just want to like go back on like Matthew's point about like the time lost that we like have like all together. 3 months it was last year, and I think and like it's going to be a month of in-class learning lost again. And I just don't know how students are going to manage with that, with a full Leaving Cert, like them expecting us to go back in June or to go into your exam hall in June and say a full Leaving Cert, no changes. And like they have made changes, but like it's still, I think, in my opinion, it's just you're reading more essentially, and you just have more option. That's about it. There's nothing taken off the course or anything. And it's just, I feel like it's a lot for students to handle, and especially because of remote learning now, lots of, like, including myself and like a lot of my friends, are better in class workers. They like the school environment. They
And sometimes as well at home, you don't know, people may have big families or like not the right necessities needed to handle at home learning. And I just feel like that's going to be a big problem as well. Although it is safer for us to stay at home because of that, because of the remote learning, I think the Leaving Cert should be changed, or like the option should be given, as Isabel and Matthew said before.
The option around predictive grades.
Yeah. And then either shortening the course or just some change has to be done to the Leaving Cert, in my opinion.
And how do you kind of feel at the moment, and, you know, over the last kind of, I suppose, few weeks, and as you look to the coming weeks, like?
Personally, I'm just very, like, it's such an uneasy situation to be in. And like, it does evoke a lot of stress. Because even yesterday, like, we thought we were going to go back to school for 3 days. Now, today, we're just not going back to school at all. So it's constantly changing. And I think just the uncertainty around it all, and like the lack of clarity from the department and the minister, is just like appalling, really. Yeah.
And do you feel respected as students, as young people, by the government?
At the moment, I don't think so at all. The lack of communication between the ISSU and the Minister of Education, as Matthew was saying, is just like, I didn't know the ISSU was a thing before this whole thing came up. And then I was talking to Matthew about it, and he was saying, oh yeah, we are rarely in connection with Norma Foley and myself. And that just came as such as a big surprise for me, because she is the Minister of Education. You'd think that she would be contacting Students Union, but she's not. And that's kind of my take on it, really.
Yeah, yeah. No, and I think your point is a really, really important one about, you know, learning, because, you know, I lecture in third level university, and I do see, you know, and, you know, students who are, you know, some of them really struggling with that, you know, in situations whereby, you know, their parents of young children, or, you know, in Leaving Cert students, you know, have young siblings. And you probably heard just before you did hear just before I started here, I had, you know, my little one-year-old was in running around the place, and, you know, it can be very, very challenging.
Of course. Like, I have friends, and like, they have like families of 7, 8 in their household. And like, it's like rarely easy for them to find like a quiet place to study. And especially if they're doing full timetables now of school, like, you're going to be 6 hours at your desk, or 6 hours trying to find complete serenity to try to do your work properly, to have that complete focus that you would have in a classroom.
Yeah, 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 absolutely. And of course, again, that raises, of course, you know, issues of inequalities in society, and, you know, housing conditions and overcrowded housing, and people who, you know, the whole digital divide as well. Isabel Flanagan, you wanted to come in there.
Could I just mention, with the communication with the minister, I don't follow her on Instagram, so I didn't actually know this. One of my friends told me that her and a few of her other friends were trying to comment on her post to like get their opinion heard, but she has her comments turned off. Yes. So we can't communicate with the minister. She doesn't reply to anyone. Like, it's a joke at this stage.
Especially as the Minister of Education, like, it's still like she's the Minister of Education and she's not contacting with the students, which just it's very aggravating.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Ryan McGinley, you're also a Leaving Cert student. How are you doing at the moment?
I agree with Matthew on what you said about, we've lost complete trust in the Department of Education. It's almost been a sort of drip feed information we'd be getting, and we deserve more clarity. You know, these leaks coming out and no real genuine information coming out isn't good for our mental health. It's causing a lot of anxiety and stress among Leaving Cert students. I emailed 3 of my local TDs. One is Fine Gael, one is Independent, and one is Sinn Féin. And I've only gotten one reply back. That was off the Sinn Féin TD. And she agrees with what she said. Her party has been calling for contingency plans to be put in place since last August, and the Minister of Education hasn't been complying or replying to her at all.
And in terms of the impact on you, like, of this whole situation and you know, of other students, you're saying, you know, it's causing anxiety. Like, how do you find it? How do you find it in terms of, like, have you, in terms of studying, setting out a plan to work? Is it a challenge?
Like, leaving cert put aside, everyone has lost their social outlets. I do. I used to train 5 nights a week. That's gone now. Even for people that don't do sports, say drama, their social outlet is gone. And just the leaving cert put on top of this is just causing immense stress for us all.
No, it's a very good point about, you know, the wider, because, and again, I suppose it's almost in a way we fall into the trap of, you know, the leaving cert is everything rather than actually seeing, you know, we're in the midst of a global pandemic here. People are, you know, dying from COVID. You know, people want to protect families. And as you say, the loss of social outlets. And how have you found the, you know, this lockdown and the last year as a young person?
Personally, I've had to start counselling just as an outlet to vent how I feel. That's it, I think. And, you know, we aren't being able to see our friends. We aren't being able to talk. Like, we're talking with our families, but sometimes your family, like, don't understand. There seems to be a sense of insularity around it, as in the leaving cert must go ahead.
I think that's a really important point, that insularity around, you know, that singularity of the leaving cert above all else. And as you say yourself, you know, people are really struggling, and I'm great to, it's great to hear, do you know what I mean, you're getting support. And maybe just, it's probably a time, Matthew, just in terms of outlining, you know, students who are listening and young people who are listening, what supports are available there?
Yeah, so obviously within your own school, there will be your own pastoral care team. So your guidance counsellors or your support counsellors, career counsellors. And I advise you, the first step would be to reach out to them and find their emails, reach out to them. There's also services such as Pieta House. Text 50808 is a great service if you need, I suppose, immediate help. You just text hello or hi to the number 50808 and you'll get instant support from a trained personnel, which is a really great outlet. And I've used that myself. And then obviously there's Samaritans and there's all the other ones as well that you can access. But definitely, I think, and the last time I was on here, we discussed it as well, Rory, and I suppose nothing really has changed since then. But there definitely needs to be more funding towards services like that, especially in a time like now. You know, it's even when you Google it, like it's almost impossible to find a service that's quick, easy and actually effective. So I definitely think the government need to step up to the mark in terms of, I suppose, mental health supports and really, really start investing in actual support, especially for young people, because there's often that assumption that, oh, young people, they'll be grand, they'll get on with it, you know, they'll be fine. But it's not like that. You know, we're affected by this pandemic and school closures as much as anyone else is, if not sometimes even more, because we're taking it all in. We have our phones on us 24/7 and we're constantly getting that news. So I definitely think it's obviously massively important that there is that increased investment and support into publicly funded services that are actually useful for students.
No, it's a very, very well made point. Bernadette, you were nodding your head in agreement there as well with Matthew.
Yeah, of course, like going back on like Ryan and Matthew's point about the social outlets and everything, like I think after the first lockdown, people were getting sick of the Zoom calls and were getting sick of the FaceTimes and were getting sick of just texting. And myself, I find myself as a very extroverted person. Like I do talk a lot and I do socialize a lot, and just the technology just was not working for me. I just hated texting. I lost lots of contacts with my friends. It was a very dark time for myself. But I did try as hard as I could to like try to find services and stuff, and there was just no kind of service that kind of suited me, just with like the replying and stuff like that. I feel like just the technology just won't work this time. I think it does take a massive toll on students and teenagers' mental health.
Ryan, you're nodding your head there in agreement.
Yeah, even from my own experience, it was very hard, like, to learn in fifth year, the 3 months we were out, like everything online. And it's at no fault of our teachers. Like, they've worked with us genuinely, trying their best, while also teaching other year groups last year, they had to give predicted grade. That was very taxing on them. And then also dealing with home life. Some have children, some are living with vulnerable people. They're worried as well.
Yeah. Isabel, what was your experience of the online learning? How have you found it?
I found it really difficult. Even though the teachers were like communicating with us like really well and trying their best, I prefer in-school learning, but like at the same time, I don't want to be in school at the moment when the cases are so high. So like we didn't do any Zooms in my school. So sorry. So maybe we could do Zooms this time. I'm not sure. Like we'll have to see what the teachers say because I'm planning on emailing some of them. But I don't know, they're trying their best and it's a really stressful time for them as well. So I think we have to take that into account because a lot of people have been saying negative stuff about the teachers and I don't think that's right either. Like,
yeah, in terms of there has definitely been that in the, you know, in the, I suppose, the public narrative that, you know, teachers have been blamed and the union's been blamed. And of course, you know, for schools not going back, but as you've made the point and as you highlighted, it was also due to, you know, the, you know, again, the public advice or the NFET advice to stay at home, you know, and they said they're going to put tens of thousands of people, you know, into schools. But also you yourselves as students were highlighting this, you know, and in terms of just taking that action, Isabel, maybe you could outline, like, how did you get started in terms of, you know, taking action and linking up with others on this, highlighting this, that the, that around going back?
I'm kind of nervous for this, but I started talking to a lad from Donegal called Conal Boyle. He was in the Green Party when I was in the Green Party, so I kind of knew him from there. And I worked with some people on Scrap School Profiling last year, and he texted me this year and he said, if there's anything I can get involved with to, you know, help this year, please let me know. And when we found out that we were being basically forced to go back to school, he texted me and he said, do you want to do a boycott from school? And I said, yeah, we'll do that. So we started an account called Sixth Year Boycott on Twitter. And I think we're on 700 or 800 followers now. And we are going to use that, like Twitter, to promote the petition from incoming 6th years on Instagram.
Because I think it's like what was really, you know, it was out of this, it shows obviously the trade unions taking the action, you know, it showed the power and importance of being in unions, but also yourselves in terms of, you know, taking that action as young people and stepping up and not just being silenced and sitting back, I think is a really important, you know, important thing and inspiring thing to see.
Yeah, like even around the country, there's been loads and loads of people ringing their local radio stations and stuff like that. And people have been messaging me saying, oh, we heard about 6th year boycott on our local radio station and the petition. And it's good to see people engaging in politics that you wouldn't see before. Like even people, I had loads of stuff on Instagram. I was kind of worried I'd like annoy people like with loads and loads of stuff. But loads of people were replying and I was like, oh, it's great to see you like getting involved. Yeah. And they're feeling like kind of empowered that we stood up. I know the unions were like huge in it as well, but we also stood up and we made our case. And I think a lot of people are hopeful now for the future that if we see something wrong and we speak up against it, that we'll be able to cause change, hopefully.
That's a really, really important message, I think, and well said, you know, around that, you know, students feeling empowered and bringing about change, because so often we see in society that, you know, you're told you can't change anything and things are the way they are. But actually, once again, you know, young people have demonstrated that you can change things. I think, Matthew, you wanted to come in there.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, like, kind of on those points, especially kind of Ryan's point, I think it was around teachers and stuff. I think one thing that's really important for us all to kind of remember at this time is that we're all kind of going through like the same thing, you know. So I think empathy is going to be a really important thing. I suppose empathy from teachers to students as well, to realize that it's not easy for us. I think there's often that assumption there as well that, oh, because we're students, we know how all the technology works and we know exactly how to use all the softwares and things, which often isn't the case. Like even simple things like Microsoft Word and stuff that you would assume people would know. Lots of people struggle with that. I struggle with myself to use Microsoft Word lots of the time. Like, I spent about 10 minutes this morning trying to figure out how to change the color of font. So, you know, it's not easy for anyone. And I also think students need to realize that their teachers are genuinely trying their best, and that there is only so much that teachers can do. You know, at the end of the day, it all falls back in the department. You know, even if their teachers are doing the absolute utmost, if the department are blocking that, then there's no more the teachers can do, unfortunately. So I think it's going to be really important for us all to kind of work together going forward. And I think the department also needs to realize that and communicate again effectively and with empathy, and realize that it's not easy for anyone, and that the decisions they're making directly impacts obviously students and teachers' lives directly. Mm-hmm. It's not just, you know, whatever your exam code is, it's that an actual person behind that being affected by these decisions, which I think is going to be obviously a really important thing going forward, is just that empathy and making sure that everyone is kind of, you know, supporting each other as opposed to turning on each other.
Yeah. And I think you're absolutely right there. I think the empathy is the key thing, you know, in terms of, and to me, it seems, you know, the initial response from, you know, the government, in a way, that idea of, again, forcing the leaving cert, you know, it's going to happen and people are going to go back to school regardless in its format, showed an absolute absence or lack of empathy, because it fails to see, you know, what the leaving cert does to students, and it just plows on with that, you know, approach. Bernadette, how would you, you know, feel about, you know, Isabel is suggesting there and others about, you know, bringing in that option of the predictive grades. You know, what do you think about that? Or I know you were talking as well earlier about the idea of reducing the content that is going to be examined. You know, what do you think is the best way forward now?
Personally, I think the option would be the ideal situation for the students. Just because I know a couple of my friends want to do the Leaving Cert in the way, because they perform better in a test setting, like in like an exam hall where, like, under time pressure, like that's where they thrive. But then for other people, they are better at continuous assessment. And I think the option, like, it just has to be an option, because you can't cater to one and not cater to the other. And it will create this like imbalance, and then obviously then the marks will go up, and some people who are in the continuous assessment, their marks will go up, and people who can't perform with the or do the continuous assessment, their like marks will go down, and it'll affect everyone either positively or negatively. But I think the option would be just handy for like everybody, so then they get to choose. And as well as Isabel was saying, to have it in the spring, so then once you know, you have this. And then you have the option to do the Leaving Cert. I think that's a brilliant idea for students to kind of choose. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. To have that flexibility of choice. Mm. Ryan, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with Bernadette and Isabel about giving the option for predicted grades. If they need to be done in spring, though, to allow time for people to apply for their CAO and go to college in August and September, because the actual Leaving Cert exams were held in November, that's too late. Say if someone needed the points, didn't get the points they wanted in their predicted grades, and then go to do the exams in November that they did this year, they're after missing out on a year they could have went to college.
Can I say something as well?
Just because as well, I think that they, obviously it's going to be hard to make a decision about the Leaving Cert, but Minister Foley and the Taoiseach are so focused on having a traditional Leaving Cert. I think they have to make a decision as soon as possible, because if they do bring in calculated grades, predicted grades, they have to make sure that they don't make the mistake that they did last year, because that affected thousands, I think, of students with their courses and things like that. So I that's just one thing I want to get across. Like, if they do make a choice, they can't make it at the end of March, at the end of April. It's just not realistic.
Yeah. Matthew, what do you think?
Yeah, I think definitely touching off what Bernadette said, it cannot be understated that the department need to make a decision now, because if predicted grades is going to be possible, they're going to need as much time as they can get to plan for that, to make sure that it's a fair and equitable system. Because like we saw from last year, it seemed great until then problems started cropping up because they just left it too late and they didn't have time to properly check it. So if predicted grades is what students want, then the department need to recognize that and they need to make a decision as soon as they can so that they have enough time to plan that and put those contingencies in place, because we're out of school for another month now. They're talking about reviewing it on the 31st of January. That is 4 months at least, including the end of fifth year, that we've missed now from in-class tuition. That's like, how does any student process that and think, okay, I still have to sit the same exam at the end of the year, which ultimately decides where I go with my life? You know, like that sort of pressure on students is immense. And I think the department need to realize that. They need to make that decision. They need to just give students that decency of knowing what's happening with their futures. Because I think what the department also need to realize is that they can do the Leaving Cert again next year. They get to rerun it next year. They get to plan it differently next year. We have this year. This is our Leaving Cert. And then after that, we don't get a redo unless we have to resit our Leaving Cert. So this is, I suppose, our one Leaving Cert. It's not like we're coming back to do it again next year. It's this is it. And whatever we get in this test is what we will be using going forward into our, you know, future lives. And they will be our Leaving Cert results. So it's really important for the department to realize that it's people's futures as well on the line, students' futures, and that they need to make that choice quickly and they need to stick to that choice. Because we've seen over the last couple of days, just because they make one decision, unfortunately, that doesn't mean it's their final decision. And we've seen them go back and forth on decisions. So we need the department to come out, make that decision, give students that clarity. And we've seen the pressure from Labour and we've seen the pressure from Sock Dems. And I think with Sinn Féin as well, calling for the minister to have a decision by next month. And we need that at the minimum.
And Isabel, you know, you've been highlighting the petition. Where do you hope it goes now?
Well, I'd hope that they'd listen to us and like maybe even talk to some of us about it. And I don't think like we shouldn't forget that they have experience in dealing with this. So if they're saying they're worried that predicted grades will affect us, they have a few months to figure this out. And I think they should use that time wisely. Like Norma Foley should be focusing just on this. Well, not just on this. She needs to focus on the other years as well, obviously. But this is, it's really serious. And like we have it, not beaten into us, but beaten into us for our whole life that the Leaving Cert is the be all and the end all. And we're now thinking, oh no, we have to sit this exam. We're not hearing anything from the minister. She was on prime time last night. I watched it hoping to get some clarity and I came off it so pissed off. Like I was so angry. I was like, is she seriously the minister for education? Like, it's like, I just can't deal with it anymore.
Why were you angry?
Because I didn't think she was answering the questions properly. I don't think she's listening to us. She's playing the card that she was a teacher and that she understands, but she's not listening to the unions, the teachers, the students. She's just, I don't even know what she is doing. Like, she just needs to do her job. Like,
going as well, didn't she say she was she consulted with students and the guardians and the majority of students were like, no, you didn't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's that kind of like attitude she has towards it, that she's doing this kind of job for us. Like, she's, I don't know, like, it's just very aggravating as well. And I can see where Isabel's coming off when she says she's pissed off, because you know, a lot of people are.
Yeah, just I have two final questions for you. And I could go around to each of you. One is, do you think the Leaving Cert should be abolished? Who wants to go first?
I think a nice big question to start off with anyway, Rory. But I definitely think, look, the Leaving Cert has been around for way too long and it hasn't changed. There's been changes to certain subjects and there's been changes subtly. But I think when you look at, say, mainland Europe and a lot of the countries there and the what they've done in their education systems over the last couple of years, I think Ireland is very slow to change as a country anyways. And I think, you know, students have shown over the last couple of years, the Leaving Cert, the cramming and the shoving everything into your brain and hoping it sticks for the day of the exam to then regurgitate it up into a page and then forget it as you walk back out the door. I think students feel it's outdated. It doesn't work. And I think there are so many better systems out there that actually promote learning as opposed to memory. Because at the end of the day, no matter what you say, I think the Leaving Cert is a memory test. It isn't prioritizing learning. It's prioritizing reading off a page, writing onto another page, hoping that sticks in your brain, getting at the exam, playing to the marking scheme, and then leaving and then never talking about it again. So I definitely think that there's a serious revamp of the whole senior cycle that needs to happen, including the Leaving Cert.
Great, thanks. Isabel?
Well, okay, so I think that, like, I agree with what Matthew said there. I think that they should listen to the students who, like, are going through it. And I think we should have a serious look at the Leaving Cert, because, like, you hear people in their 50s saying, I still have nightmares about my Leaving Cert. That should not be the case. Like, we shouldn't be having nightmares about an exam. I think the education system should empower us and help us learn important things. I don't think we should just be learning for an exam. I think we should be learning for life instead of stressing and causing unnecessary stress to people and their families. And even the teachers, like, the stress on them to get the course covered is just, it's ridiculous. Like,
yeah, I think that's a great phrase, learning for life. Yeah, I think that's brilliant. That's what it should be about. Bernadette?
I'm going to your answering your question, like, do I think the Leaving Cert should be abolished? No, but I don't think it should stay the same as it is at all, like, at all. As Matthew said, it is a memory test. And for some cases, like, it's people who pick subjects that they only pick so they can get into their course, and them just learning, like, there's no enjoyment, and it does evoke a lot of stress, and, like, some people, like, it does cause a lot for a lot of people. Like, it's just effect, like, the whole thing about it just being, and the time it takes, oh my god. Like, sure, I think my chemistry exam is like 2.5 hours sitting down reciting what I wrote in a book never to come back to it again is just like, it's just absurd. I don't understand it. And that's kind of my take on it, but yeah, it just needs a big change.
And Ryan?
Yeah, I agree that it is outdated. Like, it all comes down to the day you do your exam. It's, you're learning for the whole 5 or 6 years you're in the secondary school, but ultimately it comes down to how you are on that day, how well you've prepared. Like, take England for an example. You have multiple opportunities to even pass your exams before you even go into the exam hall and take the actual exam. And the Leaving Cert doesn't take into account, like, someone who may be artistic, good at sports, good at acting. Like, those people, the amount of people that probably slip through the gaps because they take time out of those things into the Leaving Cert.
Great, thanks. And last question to you, and Matthew knows that I like these last questions that really ramp it up. So what I was thinking, are you guys hopeful for the future, for your future in Ireland? And what do you think young people can do to change it? So I get two in one. Who wants to go first? Go on. Bernadette, do you want to go?
Could you repeat the question there? Because there's a
repeat the question. The question is, do you feel hopeful about the future for you and young people in Ireland, and what do you think young people can do to change things?
Personally, for me, with what's happening now, I'm very wary about my future. I know it shouldn't be such a big thing to me, and maybe I am being overdramatic, but I am very worried about it just because of the situation we're in. And I'm in, and all students are in Ireland. And it's just, you know, I think it's just clarity we need. And once I get that clarity, I think I could be on the road to being hopeful again for my future. Yeah. What was the second part again?
And what can young people do to change things?
Well, I think keep doing what we're doing, signing petitions, sharing everything you know about it, and just making sure everybody's educated on what's happening right now with our Leaving Cert, and what can we do, like doing the surveys for the ISSU, or just talking to your teachers about things, and just kind of keep informed and keep sharing your opinion on any, no matter how many followers you have, share your opinion, because one person might see it and be like, oh, if this person's doing it, I'm doing it. And the more voices that are putting out opinions, the more we get heard.
Great, great. Thanks, Bernadette. That's really good, inspiring stuff. Ryan?
Yeah, I think with all the uncertainty and negativity that's come the last week or so, something good has come out of it, and it just shows that if we come together as a collective, we can make change happen. And if we keep doing this, the future is hopeful.
Great. Thanks a million, Ryan. Isabel?
So, firstly, I do feel hopeful for the future. Might be a bit optimistic at the moment. But I think seeing in the past few days the way students have come together and rallied together and kind of against the government and Minister Norma Foley, I think if we continue to do things like this, when we see injustice, if we stick together, I think we do have a hopeful future. But I think we need to keep those who have become engaged in the past couple of days engaged, you know. And what can people do to change things? I think being politically active and knowing what's going on in the country. Don't just listen to what the government are saying, because, of course, they're going to back themselves up. And, yeah, just share things like the petitions. That's it, really, I think.
Great, Isabel. Thank you so much. And finally, Matthew.
Yeah, so I think it's a bit of a double-edged blade, I suppose, in terms of the kind of future in Ireland. I suppose there's a lot of work to do. I think we all know that mm-hmm. Ireland, like I said earlier, is very slow to change, as in takes generations for any change to come. But I definitely think it is changing. And I think even when you look back 10 years, if you were to look inside the Dáil, it was a very, very singular sort of demographic was in there, whereas now it's very much so changed. And there's a lot more young voices coming into the Dáil. We see a lot more young TDs coming or getting elected to office, a lot more younger senators getting elected to office, which I think is really important because, you know, while the old politics of Ireland has gotten us so far, I think it's gotten to a point where it's almost outdated. And I think the younger, I suppose, TDs and politicians coming in really bring a sort of sense of vibrancy to the Dáil, I suppose, that hasn't been there for a while. And we see, like, you know, young TDs running issues that are actually important to students and important to young people, which is really interesting, because that hasn't been the case in Ireland before. Ireland has always been very, you know, middle of the road, keep head down, keep moving forward. So in that respect, I suppose I am hoping for the future in Ireland, and I'm grateful for the fact that it seems to be changing. And I suppose in the grand scheme of things, Ireland is, you know, it's a good country to live in, it's a safe country. I suppose it's a country of plenty as well. We have many problems, but we are working towards fixing them. So I suppose, yeah, I am hopeful, but there's a lot of work to do. So cautiously hopeful, I suppose. And then in terms of what young people can do, kind of to echo what everyone else has said, I suppose just keep doing what we're doing. You know, I don't think we've seen a generation that's been so socially active before. You know, when you were young, way back, it was just get through your education, get a job, make money. That was that. Whereas now there's all these opportunities open to us, and the world's never, I suppose, been as accessible as it is now. So I definitely think change is coming. I definitely think our generation is going to be the ones that are going to spur it along and shake things up, I suppose. But I definitely think, yeah, young people, we're going the right way, band together, and I suppose we're fairly unstoppable, as we've seen.
Great. I have to say, it's always so inspiring to listen to young people in terms of your energy and enthusiasm. And, you know, yeah, you've done achieved something, you know, already. And, you know, with all the different movements and campaigns, you know, there's a lot more to be done, and it's great. You know, to see the hope there. And it is really, really important to send out that message that, you know, people, young people taking action can achieve things, can achieve change. And always, there's always help out there as well. You know, reach out to people around you, to the services, limited and all as they are there. And I look forward to listening and chatting to more of you again in the future. Thanks, Bernadette, Isabel, Matthew and Ryan.
Thank you too.
Thank you very much.
And thank you to our listeners of Reboot Republic for supporting us. Keep on listening. Remember, you can go over to patreon.com/TortoiseJack. Become a patron, support us, sign up, please, whatever you can. Donate to help us to keep putting out these podcasts and keep the voices of change going and sending out across the country and further afield. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you soon.